Thank you. Give God a praise clap this morning. Thank you, Jared, for leading us in worship today. All right, take your sermon notes out. Take your Bible out this morning. Turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 11. And as you're turning there this morning, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been on a long road trip? Anybody? Have you ever been on a long road trip with children before? Okay. Blessed are those that go to Disney World with their kids in a car. Amen. You know? And when you do that, what happens? You hear these dreaded words. Are you ready? Say them with me if you know them. Are we there yet? Yeah. And you just want to smack them, don't you? In the name of Jesus. And no, not really. We don't advocate that kind of stuff around here. No, not really. But yeah, long road trips can be difficult. And what I've learned is that a long journey of any kind can sometimes develop negative emotions. If you're on a long journey, if you're on a long travel, if you're going somewhere, the tendency to be negative often comes up. And I want you to think about real quick the journeys of life that we find ourselves on. If you are a Christ follower, if you have known Jesus, you believe Christ is in your life and He has died and resurrected and He is alive and it's by grace that we're saved and you've invited Him into your life, you're on a journey. Amen. For those that would agree with that, you're on a journey to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that journey will have twists and turns and ups and downs, but Christ will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of us are on that Christ journey. Our church is on a journey. You know, how do we know that? Well, look around. We are in a mobile situation, right? We have been for 3 years, and we get here every morning. Every morning is a journey at Life Community as we put together, not knowing exactly where God may lead us tomorrow, but we trust in the Lord that we're on a journey and that God is helping us and guiding us. You know, our nation is on a journey. Now, it seems like our nation is on a dark journey right now, doesn't it? Seems like it's not going in a good direction right now. But nevertheless, we're still on a journey and we're praying for our nation. We're praying for our leaders. We're praying that God would send revival into this nation. Amen, church. We're praying for that. But the reality is Philippians 4:4, and it's not in your notes, but you can look it up, write it on your sheet. Philippians 4:4, Paul tells us this. He says, rejoice in the Lord. You know the rest of it? Always. Now think about that. Rejoice in the Lord always. And he even says, I'll say it again, rejoice. One thing I know about a journey is this, is that you'll have on that journey attitudes that will develop. But the Bible instructs us to rejoice on that journey. No matter where you're at, where you go, you rejoice. So this morning we're beginning a new series. And I've just entitled it, Enjoy the Drive. Amen, church? Enjoy the Drive, Attitude Adjustments for the Journey. And here's why. Because whatever journey you're on, you're going to have attitudes. Some are good, some are bad. You're going to have attitudes. We're going to talk more about attitudes here in a second. But let's read about a group that was on a journey this morning. Numbers 11. You have it in your notes. You got it in your Bible. Numbers 11, verses 1 through 3. Let me give you some context. The children of Israel were in slavery. God sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They got out of Egypt. They were promised the promised land. But guess what? They weren't there yet. And they were in the desert, wandering. And look what happens in chapter 11. Now the people began complaining. They must have been Baptist. Amen. The people began complaining openly before the Lord about hardship. When the Lord heard, His anger burned. And fire from the Lord blazed among them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was named Teberah because the Lord's fire had blazed among them. God, may you bless the reading of the word, and may it speak to us today. Help us, God, today to have godly attitudes that reflect Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen. So the Israelites were God's chosen people. They were on a journey to the promised land, but it would be years and years and years before they'd get there. And while they were there, and you can read the story, it seemed like that here was God. He took them through the Red Sea, and here was this pillar of fire by night and pillar of smoke by day. I mean, the Lord was doing miraculous things for them. I mean, you know, how do you forget that you're walking up to a large body of water and it just splits for you wide open? And you walk across on dry ground and the enemies that are chasing you, they come after you, but yet the waters collapse and you're saved. I mean, how do you forget this amazing, wonderful acts of God? But yet as the people are in the desert, they begin to forget that God is watching over them. And they begin to forget that He's literally guiding them. I mean, all they got to do is look up. There's the smoke of God. At night, look up. There's the fire of God. They just got to remember a few weeks ago, they walked across the ocean. And yet here they are in the desert. And they forget all about that. And they begin to complain. They begin to say, it's too hot. The sand doesn't feel right when I sit on it. There's too many snakes out here. There's not enough food out here. It's tough out here. And you know, you want to start playing a little fiddle for them, don't you? You know? But really, in all honesty, we would complain too. I mean, really, would you like to leave your house to live in the wilderness, in the desert? Would you like that? To be camping, and then it's not just like you have permanent camp. When the Lord leads you, you pack everything up only to walk like 4 or 5 miles and replant yourself again. That's literally what happened with these people. And they begin to complain before the Lord. And the Bible says that when they complained before God, grumbling, murmuring, when they did this before God, you know what God does? He burns up part of their camp. He literally sends fire on the outskirts of the camp and burns it up. And of course, they start getting worried and they run to Moses. Moses, 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 tell God to stop burning us up. And he does. And they realize something. Well, they should have realized something because we've got a whole sermon series based on what they did, okay? They should have realized something, that God did not like their griping. God didn't like their complaints. He literally sent fire in His own people's camp and burned them up, burned some of them up because of that. See, when we're on a journey and God is leading us on a journey, we need to understand something really quick, and here's your blank. Attitudes don't choose us. We choose them. And when you're on a journey for the Lord, here's the deal. Even though you set out to follow Christ, you will have certain attitudes in your life that you will possess while on that journey. And some of them will be good, some of them will be bad. But here's the deal. You don't wake up and just say, you know what, I'm a negative person, the end. No, no, no. You choose to be negative. You choose to not have faith. You choose to complain. It's your choice. Nobody today can say, that's who I am, because if you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Amen, church? And that shouldn't be in you. But yet, we will say that sort of thing. And here's, we need to define this. James McDonald says this about complaining. I want to just give you this definition of complaining. I love it. He says, complaining is expressing dissatisfaction with the circumstance that is not wrong. It's not wrong. Nothing wrong with it. And about which I'm doing nothing to correct. Now, we as good Christian folks down here at the Life Community, we've never done that. Amen? Right? We've never complained about something that was neither moral or immoral. Just kind of indifferent. A circumstance, a situation, something. We've never complained about anything, right? We've never complained about something that we didn't do anything to help fix either, right? Well, y'all just need to go do that. Y'all need to do that. We've never done that, amen? Never done that, right? Oh, yeah, here we're going to have fun with this series, aren't we? We might grow our crowd really down, but I love you. Keep coming, okay? Keep coming. But here's what I know about Christians, okay? I know this from 1 Corinthians 10:10. The Bible says this, nor should we complain, in 1 Corinthians 10:10, nor should we complain as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. See, Christians are not to be complainers. Did you know that? Now, if you literally take the Bible for God's word, which we do at Life Community, amen? We believe it to be truth, right? If the Bible tells us not to complain as Christians, New Testament, and we complain, let me ask you a question. Is complaining sinful? Yes, it is. We don't think of it like that, do we? But according to God's word, 1 Corinthians 10:10, we are instructed not to be complainers. So if we are complainers, we are living in sin. Well, that's a tough word this morning, ain't it? Aren't you glad Paul wrote it and Kenny did it? Well, I'm glad Paul wrote it and Kenny did it, all right? I'm glad God wrote that instead of me. That's what it says. Complaining is sinful. And here's what I know. On this journey of our lives, our marriages, our families, our church, our nation, we will be so tempted to be a bunch of complainers. We will. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't think we should do this. Blah, 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 blah. Blah. Why is complaining such a big deal? Think about it. It hurts people. Did you know that? It hurts you, giving you a bad example and a bad testimony, amen, of being a negative person. Man, I don't like being around negative people. Boy, they're just not fun, amen. It hurts other people. When you're complaining, you are indirectly complaining about somebody or something that somebody is emotionally attached to or connected to or themselves. You know what you do when you complain? You ready? You inadvertently hurt other people. Did you know that? When you're a complainer, you inadvertently hurt other people. And you may not tend to, but just think about it. You do something for your kids. You ever done this before? You've bought them something or you've done something nice. I know you all have perfect kids, right? I don't have perfect kids because I don't have a perfect family, okay? You ever bought something for your kids or done something for your kids and you're really excited to give it to them and they get it and then they're like, I don't like this. Well, it hurts, doesn't it? Doesn't it? And you get mad, don't you? Think about when we complain, we hurt our testimony, we hurt the people around us, but then we also do something else, we hurt God. Because God in His sovereignty, God in His majesty, God in His and who He is, we complain and gripe about what God's doing in our lives. Brothers and sisters, that ought not to be. So as we go on this journey, we have to replace this attitude. Remember, attitudes choose us, right? Right? No, we choose the attitudes. So if we're to choose the attitude, we have to get out of this complaining stuff. Because on the journey, all you're going to be, if you're complaining, you're going to be that little kid in the back seat, kicking the seat, kicking the seat. And when a brother or sister gets too close to you and you smack them, you say, don't touch me, you know? And it's going to make everybody miserable, amen? Come on, amen? Everybody's going to be miserable. Everybody's going to be miserable. It's going to be hot, uncomfortable, not fun. You're going to be smacking each other, drawing invisible lines down the middle of the seat from each other. It's what you're going to do. So we have to, if we're going to be on a journey, we have to today decide not to be complainers. Amen? So what do you do? If you're not going to be a complainer, you've got to replace that with something. And what do you replace it with? Well, the exact opposite of complaining is thankfulness. It's thankfulness. James MacDonald also defines thankfulness like this. I love it. He says, thankfulness is the attitude that perfectly displaces my sinful tendency to complain and then releases joy and blessing into my life. You know what happens when you find yourself in a situation where you could gripe and murmur and complain about something? But then you begin to look at what God is doing in that and you become thankful about that situation instead of complaining about that situation. You know what happens? You become a happier person. You become a happier person. C- Complaining sucks the life out of you. Thankfulness does not. Thankfulness puts joy into your life. So how do we enjoy the Drive Life community? You ready? We stop complaining. We take the attitude of complaining and we replace that with the attitude of thankfulness. So this morning we need to learn how to be thankful instead of complainers. To enjoy God's journey, we must replace the attitude of complaining with the attitude of thankfulness. Three things that we need to thank the Lord for today. All right, you ready? Here we go. First, I will thank God for who He is. There's your first blank. I will thank God for who He is. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms 107, 8 and 9, the psalmist writes, he says, "Let them give thanks to God for His faithful love and His wonderful works for all humanity. For He has satisfied the thirsty and filled the hungry with good things." This psalm tells us that God gives faithful love. Anybody glad that He doesn't stop loving you today? The Bible says He does wonderful works for you. Our baby, when she was born, you look at her, and you're just like, man, the Lord has grown this in my wife. And yes, it looks like an alien when it comes out, but they get cute really quick after that. And it is a wonderful work of God. The Bible says He satisfies the thirsty and the hungry with good things. He provides for us, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. We think about the cross of Jesus. He has provided for every one of us in the sacrifice of Jesus. When Christ died on the cross and He rose again, and for those that would give their life to Jesus, they would be saved. He's provided so much for us. And when you stop and you think about the good news of Jesus and His love and how He made you and how you're here on earth and God's done this stuff for you, you stop. With a million things to complain about, you have to praise the Lord and thank the Lord for what He's done for you. And you've got to thank God for who He is. Now, on a journey, if you get in the car and go to Disney World today, you're going to stop. Now, some of you won't like stopping, will you? You got that GPS. Boy, we're killing time. We're killing time. But some of y'all stop on the journey. You got kids, you stop and stop and stop and stop, don't you? And you know what? With each stop, it changes the itinerary, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Well, if we don't hurry up, we're not going to get there in time to enjoy the beach tonight. We're going to just have to go straight to bed. Every time you stop, the itinerary changes. Can I tell you something? It's in moments of change that we complain. Right? Good change, bad change, it doesn't matter. All change is hard. It's tough. You know, even when we moved from the community center to Seven Hills to here, each one of those moves had a change involved in it. And each one was hard. Some of you all don't really miss the metal chairs, amen? I don't miss the metal chairs. But some would say, oh man, we just had this over there or that over there, and just not the same. Well, let me just tell you something really quick about that. Every time a change happens, you ready? The old is gone, the new's here. Don't live in the past, amen? Listen, y'all too young to live in the past. Did y'all know that? You're too young to quit saying, well, it used to be that way over here. It was better like that over here. Stop it. Stop it right now. Because every time change comes, it can either, for good or bad, attitudes of negativity can creep up because of change. Be careful. And I'll tell you, you know, you can't please everybody. Well, you can't. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen. So we understand that every time there's change that we must understand that it's hard. But here's what I love about thanking God who He is. You ready? In spite of all the change that you'll experience in the church and in your life, in your families, in this nation, which makes us want to complain, can I tell you something really cool? In spite of all that, our God never changes. Our God never changes. And you can always rely on the fact that our God will be stable. Our God will be constant. Our God will be good throughout this whole journey of life, nation, or church. Amen? He will be here. So we could complain about changes in the United States. And we want to. But in the end, we must praise God that we still have the freedom to be here this morning. Amen, church? And if we lose that freedom, y'all come to my house next Sunday, okay? That'd be all right. Well, we'll find some place to meet, okay? But we'll see what God does. So we have to quit complaining and start being thankful for what God is doing and recognizing who He is. Second is this. You ready? I will thank God no matter what situation I'm in. No matter what it is, Mike. I'm going to thank Him. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in what? Woo! For this is God's what? Woo! For you in Christ. Somebody says, I just don't know what the will of God is. I just wish I knew the will of God. You just found out to give thanks wherever you are right now. That ain't the will of God. Sure it is. Bible says it is. Bible says the will of God is for you to get to praise Him right now no matter what you're dealing with. That's the will of God for your life. That doesn't sell a lot of books, does it? You know, don't go to a lot of preaching circuits saying, hey, just praise God for whatever situation you're in, because sometimes you get in bad situations, don't you? Oh, man, this circumstance I'm going through, there's no way this is God's will. Well, the situation, the circumstance may not have been caused by God, but it is His will for you to praise God through that storm. Amen? It is His will for you to give praise through the difficult and the good. See, the Israelites, they would praise God when everything was good. They'd celebrate, praise, clap, have festivals and dance. But when it got bad, they just forgot all about that and started complaining. That's human nature. But yet the Bible tells us to give thanks in all things. Now, I want to remind you that complaining, that definition, go back in your notes and look at it. Complaining is expressing dissatisfaction about a circumstance that is not bad and that you're not doing anything about to help. Okay? That's what complaining is. And when a bad situation happens, is it easier just to sit on the sidelines and gripe than to do something about it? Isn't it? Well, I just don't like the way they're doing that. Then do something about it. But praise God. Praise God that no matter what, it's going to be okay. You know, sometimes on a journey, you have to stop and you have to go to the restroom, right? And there's been some times where I could not wait to get to that next exit because I went to McDonald's and had me a supersized drink. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? And on the journey down to Atlanta or Florida or wherever, I've had to pull over. And you want to know something? I can't believe I'm saying this, but if I've got to go, I got to go, okay? All right? This is real life at Life Community, right? And can I just be honest with you? I know it's different for men, okay? But I'm just saying this. I don't care what the bathroom looks like. If I've got to go, I've got to go. I'm not going to stand there and say, yuck, this is disgusting. I'm just going to, like, have my kidneys collapse on me. Got to go, you got to go. Now, I know not everybody's like that, but the men, go ahead and say amen on that one. Amen. All right. We'll be gracious to the ladies today, okay? But let me say this. In hard times, difficult times, times, family times, church times, hard times, there'll be yucky moments. Amen? But we're still to thank God in the yuck. We're still to thank the Lord in the yuck. That God is still good. He never changes. So no matter what situation I'm in, I'm going to thank God. Third, I want you to see this. And let me just, before I say this, before you hit the slide, Tanner, just listen. This is a deeper level of spiritual maturity that we will have a hard time getting to. This is a level that not everybody obtains in their Christian walk with God. Just being real with you. Some of you all will never obtain this because it requires you to die to self and to view yourself as crucified with Christ, that you no longer live, but He lives through you. This is a tough one. Are you ready? I will thank God for all things. All things. Ephesians 5:20, biblical, again, giving thanks for what? For what, church? Does everything mean everything? I told you this was a deeper level, didn't I? In the name of the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. There are some that are so quick to praise God when it's good, but yet when it's bad, they curse God and they complain and they murmur. But yet this person here that's able to see both good and bad, and you look at Job from the Old Testament, all that was taken away from him, and he said, I'll never curse God. And he refused to. Job was not basing his praise of God upon what he had or did not have, or what he was going through or what he wasn't going through. The man lost his family. The man lost everything. And yet he refused to curse God. This is a deeper way of thanking God. Illness, loss, poverty, tragedy, suffering. These things aren't here because God's trying to trick you or punish you. They're here because of sin. Amen. 2,000 years ago, when sin entered this world, it created a whole bunch of nastiness, opened up suffering, opened up bad stuff for this world. God's in the process of putting it back together. Amen. But the Christian knows this verse. And this is how the Christian is able to move out of the complaining realm into a realm of thankfulness. You know what Romans 8:28 says? Let me just read it to you. It's not on the screen, but let me just read it to you. And we know that in what? All things. God works for the good of those who love Him. Sometimes we misquote that. We say all things work for good. That's not what it says. It says all things work for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purposes. If you're in Christ today, God is working every situation out to give Jesus praise and glory in your life. Everything. Suffering, tragedy, hardship. He didn't necessarily cause it, but He's picking up the pieces and He's putting it back together. Amen, church? This is why a mature Christian in the Lord will face hardship. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean you don't grieve or you don't mourn or you don't have frustration or anxiety. You know, be real. It just means that when you're sitting in that ash heap like Job was, and you just say, blessed be the name of the Lord, the God who gives and takes away. That is a deeper level of Christianity. Oh, so often we complain about just silly stuff. Silly stuff. It's our sinful tendency to do that. But it's not what God wants. He wants to get us to the level where we say, even though we're going through a really difficult time right now, we believe He's working it for our good. Now, I got a confession. I'm a complainer. Oh, Kenny, you're not supposed to say that. You're preaching about complaining. I'm just real today. I can complain every time I watch the news. I can. Ask Taryn. She'll tell me there's a no news cutoff point at the night. There's no set time. It's just whenever she decides, okay? You know? Time lines up. It's over. I'm a complainer by nature. I am. I like to gripe. I like to gripe when I see moral decline in our nation. I like to complain when I see churches that were once biblical and strong backing down from that, compromising on their beliefs. It makes me mad as a hornet. I don't like it. I struggle and complain when I see Christians not living like Christians, only to realize that when I'm complaining, I'm not living like Christ either, right? I struggle with all of that. And I know something, that whenever I find myself in a complaining mentality, you know what happens? There's always a fire that burns in my camp. burns away my joy, burns away my peace, burns away my sleep, burns up a lot of stuff. Anybody relate to me today? A complainer's got fire in their camp. And it's tough. It's tough. And really, when a fire breaks out like that, the only thing you can do, you can call the fire department all you want to, but you've got to realize what the people of Israel did. They had to go to Moses and plead to God. Amen? Only answer to the fire that burned out all their joy. They had to go to the Lord. Today, we really have no reason to complain. And I know our church is mobile, and we don't know the direction or the future, and I know that. But listen, God, church, hear me. God is blessing us. Just be thankful for that. Just be thankful for that. He is blessing us. Today, we can take you overseas to the Middle East. And you've got Christian brothers and sisters that have every right to complain. But they're not. You know, this July 4th weekend, we think about those who served. And I know there are people in this room right now that served in Iraq. And you have folks connected to you that served in the Iraq war. People experienced freedom for a season. But now in the vacuum of that being there, I'm not trying to be political, I'm just stating the facts. No military force there. An evil organization called ISIS has moved in. They're not a JV team. They're evil. They're wicked. And they're hurting a lot of people. See, there's a lot of Christians in Iraq. You wouldn't think about that, but there are. There's believers in Jesus, Christian brothers and sisters in Iraq. Reverend, I read an article this week interviewing the Reverend Andrew White. He served in the Anglican Church in Baghdad before they had to leave, before ISIS snuffed them out. And it's a heartbreaking story. But he told in that story about the Christians that are standing for the faith in Iraq right now. Right now, the Christians in Iraq, they're not all Muslims, but the Christians that are standing for Jesus right now. And he says this, speaking of an experience that he knew about and that he heard in an article that I read. Apparently ISIS had found some Christian children younger than 15 years old, he says. They were all younger than 15. And they rounded the Christian children up. And Andrew White is quoted with saying this. He says, ISIS turned up and they said to the children, "You say the words, children, that you'll follow Muhammad." And the children, all under the age of 15, there were four of them, said, "No, we love Jesus. We have always loved Jesus. We will always follow Jesus. Jesus has always been with us." The militant said, "Say the words, I will follow Muhammad." And the children said, "No, we cannot do that." And according to Andrew White, all four of those children were beheaded for the gospel. And we complain about going past 12 on a Sunday morning. What I think is going to happen in the United States in the upcoming days, you're going to see something that's happened. The true believers and those that aren't real are going to be quickly separated. Quickly separated. And that's coming. So if we choose today to be a people of complaining, you won't make it. You won't make it with what we're getting ready to face, church. You hear me? You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. We will have to radically rethink the way church is done in the next 20 years. Y'all know that, right? Radically rethink it. Some will make it, some will not. we have to radically rethink that. And we will have to be thankful. Amen. Be thankful. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Jared, would you come start playing for us this morning? Maybe today you find yourself in a spirit of complaining. Maybe it's because you've never experienced Jesus in a real way, a Christ who has changed you and radically made you different. If you've never accepted Jesus as God, as your Savior, not just with head knowledge, but into your heart, into your spirit, I invite you today to ask Christ into your heart. Say, Lord, I just want to be a thankful person in Jesus. I want a personal relationship with Christ. Would you pray this with me? Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus in my life. Come into my life and save me. I believe you died, you rose again, and I give my life to you today. Thank you for saving me. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you did that today for the first time, I congratulate you for giving your life to Jesus. And I pray that you would come and let the church know about it and make that public. Maybe today you're a Christian. You're like a child of Israel wandering in the desert, in your marriage, in your church, in your family, in your job, whatever. And the tendency to complain is there. But today you're just going to replace the tendency to complain by focusing on Jesus. My choice today is to focus on Jesus instead of complaining. To focus on Jesus instead of being a complainer. You respond today however God moves in your life. So, Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, our focus must be on Christ who died and rose again, and not on the petty stuff. Help us to enjoy the drive. We pray in your name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet as we worship our God today, as the Lord is moving in our lives.